delicious Rita. Knowing you're near, so good to see you.
Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord! Exclamation point. Fred, how are you? Happy Thursday. This already the 20th day. This 20th day of October. How are you? Good to see you. Yeah, go ahead and take your coat off. Take your shoes off. Let's fellowship. It's the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. It is Joey Kroll with you, and always a great reminder to wait upon the Lord. You know, I heard, I think it was Dr. Charles Stanley who said one time, the only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing that you had. Amen. Hey, friend, I hope you are having yourself a wonderful week. Yeah, it's been a great week in our household. It was this past week that I officially released and published my very first book. I know, exciting, right? It's called Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. And it really takes a look at, common misunderstandings that really muddy the waters of faith. Does God really help those who help themselves? Does the Bible really contradict itself? Was Jesus married, as some claim that he was? And we just, I just take a look at some of those misunderstandings and address it from a biblical perspective. And I say that today not to say go out, buy my book, you know, how people get so promotional. But I say that to say God is so cool. I mean, he really is. I remember I grew up in a, I don't want to say a poor family, but a near poor family, I should say. I grew up without knowing my dad for many years, and as I turned into my teenage years, I was that rebellious teenager that nobody ever wanted, you know, and I even dropped out of high school, and I remember some of the things that I used to do and what I used to say to my teachers that just makes me just want to write them a letter and say, I am so sorry, that is not who I am anymore. And I lived my adult life many years without any formal education and horrific grammar and didn't really have a great view of myself. And but God really worked in my life. He really, really has. And I remember when I first got saved, I told my new Christian friends that I am not going to join a Bible study. That's not who I am. I don't read the Bible. I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and that's it. I am not going to a Bible study. And praise God that he works in our life, sanctification and so forth. And praise God on that, because today I have a degree in biblical studies. I teach the Bible. I proclaimed the Bible, and now I wrote a book defending the Bible. And I just say that to say God is so cool. He can take something and make something out of nothing. And he calls the things that are not as though they were. So, friend, I say all of that to encourage you today. Give the reins over to the Lord. Let him work in your life. He can do so much more with it than you and I ever can. Amen. Whew, I love it. Hey, if you have some time today, I encourage you, maybe today or tomorrow, take a look at greatnewsradio.org. Click on events. There are some updated information for some Singing Men concerts. In fact, they added a few dates just the other day, Friday night, November the 11th. They're going to be performing the national anthem at the U of I game, women's volleyball, Illinois versus Wisconsin, 7 p.m. Friday night, November the 11th. Also, they're going to be at Victory Church in Camargo on December the 4th, Gibson City Bible Church on Saturday, December the 10th, Marketplace Mall, Saturday, December 17th. So lots of concerts being updated. I encourage you to take a look at greatnewsradio.org, click on events, and there you'll see the updated list, which, by the way, more to be added here in the next couple of days and weeks. Again, that's greatnewsradio.org. Well, coming up here in just a couple of moments, we're going to be talking about the ekklesia. That's a Greek word for the church. We're going to be taking a look at a biblical view on the church. That's coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps out. Jesus is coming back for the church. And don't it make you want to shout? Hallelujah. Oh, I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilling. Oh, and signs of the time, they're appearing. I can almost hear my Father as he says, son, go get my children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out.
Well, I hope you have yourself a great Thursday. Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. And I'll tell you what, in every country in the world, there is an American embassy. And an embassy is a little bit of America a long way from home. I mean, embassies are sovereign territories, which means they do not belong to the countries in which they are in. They belong to the country they came from. So if you get in trouble in a foreign land, just find your way to the American embassy, because once you enter its gates in the realm of its dominion, you are in America again. And friend, the church is supposed to be a little bit of heaven a long way from home. The church is a place where weary people find truth, safety, forgiveness, hope. It ought to be a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And today I like to spend some time in looking at the purpose and the role of the church. You know, many people today understand the church as a building, and that's not the biblical understanding of the church. The word church actually comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which really means an assembly or ones who are called out. The root meaning of church is not that of a building, but of people. The church is those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. So in other words, we don't go to church. We do not attend a church. We are the church. Because what we do is when we think of a church as a place we go on a particular day, we see church as something we do only on Sunday at that particular location. We have limited Christianity only to one particular day at a particular location. The church is not a building, it is the people. The church is those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And before we ever talk about the church, we need to realize that Jesus is the head of the church. Colossians 1, 17 and 18 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. Jesus is supreme over all. Amen. He founded the church. He brought forth the church, gave it life through His death, burial, and resurrection. The reason why we should pray before a Bible study, before we get into a Sunday sermon or a Sunday night evening Bible study, is because we should be seeking the CEO before we open His word, right? I mean, before church business meetings, we should pray because we want to check in with the boss before we conduct His business. Jesus is the head of the church. And the church is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So according to 1 Corinthians 12, we see here that the individual members are part of one body, the body of Christ. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If we are called the body of Christ, well then we need to know that the body of Christ is a moving and active body. I don't know if you've ever played basketball or watched basketball. I remember watching Michael Jordan when I was growing up, and I haven't watched much basketball since then. But in basketball, there are two teams on the court, two opposing teams on the court. But there's also a third team that's often overlooked, the officials. The third team is unique because it is not loyal to either team on the court. The allegiance of the officials is to another organization, the NBA. They have their own source of authority, which is the rule book that comes directly from the league office. This third team does not sit idly by during heated contests, but they engage in the game to ensure that the wishes of the league come about. And just like the officials in the NBA, friend, the church is of a different kingdom. We too participate in a battle. The gospel demands our engagement in the world for the glory of God. The church is so much more than sitting in a pew. The church is so much more. So much more than sitting in a pew. You know, God did not dress Himself in humanity to walk down Calvary, carry our cross, die on that cross so that you and I can sit in a pew. The body of Christ is a moving and active body. We have to engage the world. The gospel demands our engagement. You know, here in 1 Corinthians 12, we see that God has gifted each and every believer with gifts, spiritual gifts, gifts given to us for service, for his kingdom. And we're ought to use those gifts to build up, edify, and grow the body of Christ. I remember kind of early on in my church going days, I remember I came to church with the mindset of, what is the church going to do for me today? It was for several years I had that mindset. And why isn't anybody saying hi to me? Why isn't anybody doing this? What are they going to do for me today? But as we grow, friend, as we mature in the Lord, we need to come with the mindset of, what can I do to serve the body of Christ? We are not here to sit idly by and allow the world to decay. We're not called to be comfortable. Now, I know some of us are limited physically and unable to get out and do things, but you know what? We can still pray. We can still write a note to the pastor or the church leaders and say, you know what? Keep up the good work. I'm praying for you. Friend, the gospel demands our engagement. The body of Christ is a moving and active body. And as the church is being a moving and active body, we need to remember that we need to be about his work and his mission. What is the mission of Jesus? Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, if Jesus is concerned for the lost, if Jesus, the president, the CEO, the founder of the church, is concerned for the lost, then we need to be concerned for the lost. Mark 2:15 says, "And it had happened that he, Jesus, was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, 'Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?'" Tax collectors back then, they were, and I guess today, they were known for price gouging. I mean, they took advantage of people. They were dishonest. So he had a meal with tax collectors, sinners. I mean, these were people who were probably filled with gossip, filled with lust, filled with hatred, filled with every kind of perversion that you can think of. And Jesus was eating with these people. He said, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Oh, church, thank you, Jesus. Praise him that he came and healed our sick, sinful, perverted life. The church, friend, is a society of sinners who finally admitted it. Sharing the gospel with folks is like one beggar telling another where to find bread. We need to be about his work and his mission. And finally, the church is to make disciples. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And a disciple, friend, is a student, a learner. Jesus said, "Go." He said, "Go. Go." The original meaning of the word "go" isn't just a one-time thing. You go and then you come back and you're done for a while. It means as you are going, or while going. When we go, whatever we go, in both the going and the coming, whether common day-to-day paths or uncommon special trips or outings, we need to make disciples, share our faith, witness to folks. Making disciples is a lifestyle, not a one-time thing, while we are going. And the church is to build up the believers. We're supposed to build them up. Grow. It's so much more than coming down an aisle, raising a hand, or praying a certain prayer. You got to grow. You got to mature in your walk with the Lord. And part of that is gathering with other believers. Build up the body of Christ. We are to make and mature disciples. The mission of the church is to make them, mark them, and mature them.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life, it's worth the living just because he lives. Oh, yeah. I can face it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All my fear is gone. It's worth the living just because he lives. My life is worth the living. It's worth the living just because he lives.
Nicole C. Mullen, because he lives. Thanks so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio.